Welcome to The Awakened Homeowner. Thinking about a new home or remodel, but feeling lost in a maze of decisions? You're in the right place. I'm William Reed, and for over three decades, I've coordinated the design and construction of hundreds of remodel and new home projects. I know the process can feel overwhelming, but trust me, you can do this. Here, we break it all down step by step so you can feel confident, empowered, and even excited about your project. No stress, no guesswork, just the guidance you need to bring your dream home to life. Let's dive in. Here's a shocker. How often have you walked into your home and went to plug something in and there was no plug there? Electrical and lighting design is an often overlooked, undervalued aspect of design, and it does not help you achieve your goals when you were dreaming about your new custom home. We're going to continue on with the World of Design series and the Awakened Homeowner podcast episode here. We're going to be talking about how an electrical engineer could be used for a project. You don't necessarily have to use an electrical engineer on your project, but the larger and more complex a project is, the more you may want to consider using an electrical engineer. Otherwise, you would depend on your architectural designer to do all of your electrical, lighting, and power plans. So let's go up to the studio and talk about this in our little mini series, The Doctors of Your Home. And we're into the circulatory or nervous system, I guess we could call it, and how electrical and lighting can help protect your experience and obtain realistic quotes for your project early on so you don't have those infamous surprises and change order hell. Okay, we're back up in the studio here, still in the outdoor studio. It's August of 2025 on the shores of Lake Almanor. And we're in our mini series called The Doctors of Our Home. If you went to the previous episode, I opened that up with the structural engineer, that is the bones of your home. Then we got into the mechanical HVAC design, the respiratory system of your home. And now we're going to get into the electrical design of your home, a really important aspect of a project. Yet, it's amazing how many homeowners unknowingly overlook the aspect of electrical, lighting, and power design for their project. It's not something that people immediately realize that they need to have kind of a hyper-focus on it for a project unless they're prompted by their design professional, like their architect or their residential designer. And often, this is what happens. And it goes back to that term I've used in the past episodes called the permit push. And what happens with electrical and lighting design on a custom home project or even a remodel project is a design professional often will just provide what is like the standard electrical and lighting design. For example, they'll place all of the receptacles just to meet the minimum code requirements. And sometimes the software applications they use actually will automatically generate a power plan, for example, where all your receptacles, where you plug in your devices, go and never revisit it. And the same thing can happen with lighting design, where just the basic minimum is generated so that it meets the current code requirement and that it can be used to submit for a building permit. And unbeknownst to a homeowner, don't really understand or realize the importance of paying attention to this. So what happens often is the plan set gets submitted for a building permit. Plans are issued to subcontractors, such as an electrician, to price out the project. A permit is issued, the project begins, and one day you walk into your project and start looking at your home that's being built or remodeled and see an electrician there just putting plugs in wherever they want, switches where they want for the lighting based on the plans that you haven't really paid attention to. So my job today is to call that to your attention, and we're going to go through a whole list of things that you need to know so that you can create an environment for your home that
meets your expectations. There's that word again. I know I use that word all the time, but that's really what's happening here is we're trying to meet your expectations. So that is the one of the instigators of inadequate electrical and lighting design is the permit push, just trying to get the permit cranked out so that we can just keep moving along. We're going to back up a little bit and get into just the general service to your property and if that's going to be adequate for your home. One of the things that's happening in the trends today of construction is this all-electric path. And one of the unintended consequences of this all-electric mode, meaning getting rid of the use of natural gas or propane gas, is to design a home that's all electric and is not dependent on natural propane gas. But what that does is that increases the load capacity and consequently is the electrical service that is feeding the property adequate from the utility provider. This is a pretty common problem. So where new homes are often built with a 200 amp service, for example, from your utility company, I wouldn't be surprised if you were building a 3,000 to 4,000 or 5,000 square foot custom home that your electrical service may need to be 400 amps, which can trigger upgrades that your utility company has to provide. And what does that mean? That means as little as providing a new feed wire, basically, from the transformer location to your property so that there's an adequate power to feed all of your appliances and equipment that you have in your home, and as much as replacing or relocating and replacing the transformer that comes from the high voltage lines to adequately provide power to your property. It's not uncommon in urban environments and suburban environments that one transformer feeds more than one property owner. So as you can see, this can get quite complicated if you start to get into a home that's consuming a lot of power. Now, it could be that you're going with an all-electric solution for your design of your home, but not necessarily. It just could be purely the size of the home and the equipment that you want. So we're going to talk about load calculations and why that's an important thing to do very early on in the process so that you can eliminate some of these surprises. Before we do that, though, let's talk a little bit about remodel projects. Remodel projects can throw people for a loop, too, because a lot of homes, a lot of older homes have 100 amp services, which is the minimum. Some of even the older, real old homes have even less than that. But one thing you need to be aware of is that even if you're doing a typical interior remodel of a kitchen and a couple bathrooms, or you're expanding your home and doing a kitchen and bathrooms and doing a remodel project, it's pretty likely that you'll have to upgrade your electrical service to a 200 amp service minimum. And that is because of all of the additional draw that's going to be taking place with the new appliances. So with those additional draws that you're going to have in your new home, if your 100 amp service is not adequate, then there's a pretty good chance you'll have to upgrade to a 200 amp service, and that could trigger the feed from the transformer, like I mentioned earlier, new construction, or perhaps the overhead line, if you have an overhead service, needs to be upgraded. So these are the things that have to be considered very early on, and one of the big reasons is because if you do have to upgrade your electrical service, that's an application process with the utility company. And in my experience, that can take months, several months, maybe sometimes even a year, depending on the jurisdiction that you're in. So understanding the electrical lighting design and power design early on, understanding if you're going to need to upgrade your electrical service early on, positions you best to obtain accurate prices and get your project started on time. So let's move into what we call load calculations that help you determine this. All right, so load calculations is an analysis that's done by an electrical engineer or a qualified electrical contractor, And what they do is they look at your design that your architect or your electrical engineer has done, and they look at the specific equipment that's going to be used in the home. That could be your kitchen appliances, all of your lighting, special equipment that you may desire, such as a shop environment or special heating and ventilation equipment, water heating equipment, anything that's going to be drawing power from the grid is what's analyzed by an electrical engineer or a qualified electrician. And they come up with a calculation called a load calculation. And how they work it is they add up all of the amperage that's going to be used. And it's a more of a sophisticated analysis that we're not going to get into, because really you don't care. What you care about is, can I have what I want? So they do an analysis, and there's a discount factor. So obviously you're not going to have every single appliance turned on at the same time in a home. The likeness of that are very low. So they have a factor, and then they determine the size of the electrical service that's needed for the home. And that goes back to that 100 amp, 200 amp, 400 amp service. And that is a critical determination to understand if you then need to go back to the utility company and upgrade the service. As you can imagine, if you're thinking about purchasing a lot and you're thinking about building a large custom home, you're going to want to know what that power service is to the property to begin with, because you could be into it for tens of thousands of dollars to upgrade the electrical service from your utility provider to achieve your home. And knowing that early on for your budget clearly makes sense. Now, and with a load calculation, you'll be able to determine and make educated design decisions, such as maybe I don't need this, or maybe I do want that. And maybe I do need to budget another $20,000 for electrical service upgrade. But here's a story for you. So I had a project in the Bay Area where we were doing a significant residential remodel, expansion, adding a cabana out on by the pool, adding all kinds of elements to the project. And we were really pushing the limits of an existing 200 amp service. And then the owner decided to upgrade the pool equipment to electric heat pump system, which draws a lot more power. And then the owner decided to have a charging station, which requires another 50 amp circuit and so on. This is all during construction, which is the worst case scenario that you could put yourself into as a homeowner, is making these decisions during construction. So what happened was, is the city inspector said, I don't see all this stuff on the plans, so now I need a load calculation to make sure that your electrical service would be adequate to serve all of these new additions to the project. Sure enough, we did an electrical load calculation, and it wasn't adequate. What that triggered was an application process with the local utility provider, in this case it's Pacific Gas and Electric, which was quite frankly a nightmare, and it took, gosh, I think it took a year to get it all processed and through, maybe even longer. We were able to continue on the project from a construction aspect, fortunately, but at one point we got to a point where we couldn't really do much more until we were able to upgrade the service. Further compounding it was an underground service underneath driveways and neighboring properties and streets and all kinds of things. This is an example of somewhat of a nightmare case, and I think it ended up costing the property owner another $50,000, if I remember right, by the time everything was said and done. Landscaping, ripping up brand new landscaping, putting it back in, things like that. So you can see, not thinking about all of this stuff ahead of time and not planning properly is really detrimental to a project. Now, this is that old hindsight's 2020, but in this case, it's possible we could have caught some of these things. The load calculation is really important so that you can then go back and check your existing service, make sure it's adequate. So you're going to be asking your architect these questions like, what size power service do I need? If there's a question like, I'm not sure, then either you're too early in the design process or a thorough electrical, lighting, and power plan has not been done, and therefore low calculations haven't been done. And then, is my existing service adequate for my new design related to that? Where are the power utilities located? Is that indicated on the plan somewhere so that everybody can have a reference point of how far they're going to have to trench or draw a new line? Will the existing power company equipment service my needs? That would be the transformer and the conductors coming from the transformer, the poles, if you have an overhead service. Can I actually have all the things that I want? So these are the things that come up when you start going through your requirements for a project, and you're going to need to think that, can the service actually take care of everything that I need? Does the electrical service from the utility company take care of everything that I need? A lot of people don't think about that until it's too late, and that's my job here, is to try to make you aware, awaken you to this potential problem that does come up quite frequently in projects. Okay, so now that you understand that there's some moving targets, I call them, with just the main service coming to your property, let's talk about some of the things that you're going to want to consider during the design process when the electrical and lighting and power stage comes up. And this is why we're talking about it today, is should you hire an electrical engineer for the project, or should you hire your architect to do an electrical lighting design for your project? I would say that more often than not, an architect does handle the electrical and lighting design for a project, either in-house or with somebody that works for them in-house that does that. When you get into hiring an actual electrical engineer for a project, it's usually because there is, it's a large, very large home, very sophisticated home. There's a lot of different, very specific power requirements that the homeowner has declared. They want to integrate solar. They want to integrate smart electrical panels. They have an all-electric home, electric water heating systems with heat pumps, and it can get quite complicated. But for the most part, people use their architects for the electrical, lighting, and power design. And often that can work out fine, as long as the architect is comfortable in doing that. So in the power systems, we've already talked about on your plans and understanding what service you have to work with, which will inform your design decisions on how much you want to do. For example, I had one client that had a nice 2-acre parcel that was going to design a 4,000 square foot home with a pool cabana and a separate detached garage with an office and a full-on shop with a lot of woodworking equipment in it that drew a lot of power. As we went through the design and got everything down on paper for him, we realized that service to the property is not going to be adequate. And we discovered this early on. This is prudent planning. And we actually ended up having to upgrade the power to the property to a 600-amp service, which is not very common, so at least in the single-family residential. So understanding that your requirements will drive that, and asking some of these questions early on so that you can either adjust your requirements or know you're going to have to pay a bunch of money to upgrade the service. Your strategic power planning, we're talking about in the electrical plan aspect of the project, you'll have to consider all of your general power receptacles in the floors and the walls and the ceilings, things that you know that you would want and locations where you want for your special needs, such as home offices and workshops and your charging stations and where you're going to plug in the curling iron and the blow dryer, all these little things that you care about. The architect's going to be placing things into the plans that are the requirements for it to meet the current code requirements, but you're going to have specific needs. So you're going to want to ask your architect or your electrical engineer if you could sit down and go through each one of the rooms to make sure that you have an outlet behind each nightstand, that you do want power in your walk-in pantry and in your closet, and very specific things like that. So you're going to want to be thinking about things just that you care about, and the rest of it's going to be infilled with everything that's required from a code requirement. You'll also want to be picking out all of your kitchen appliances, all your bar appliances, anything that is going to be an electrical appliance for the home, because those draw power. And you're going to need to indicate what make and models those are. So you'd be working with your interior designer or your architect specifying all of those appliances and getting them listed out for the architect or the electrical engineer to include, so when they do the load calculations, that they are accurate. We're going to have a separate episode called Low Voltage Consultants, which has to do with the home automation features that you could include in your home. But one of the things that you're going to want to consider is if you are going to have home automation, such as lighting controls and controlling your blinds and dedicated network panels, that having those locations determined within the electrical, lighting, and power plan is important, because all of those aspects do require power. So you'll want to be thinking about those aspects too. If you're planning to do a solar panel system, you're going to want to declare that to your architect or your electrical engineer, because that is going to require certain design aspects to include in the electrical, lighting, and power plan. So understanding that. Backup systems, backup generators, whether it's a natural gas or propane fired generator system, or if it's a combination of the solar and battery backup system, this is important for everyone to know early on that's what you desire, because that will directly impact the electrical and power design. Another trend that's coming on right now is smart panels, smart electrical panels. So in the old days, or in today's days, you just open up your electrical panel on the outside of your home, or sometimes there are also sub-panels inside your home, and you just have your standard breakers that you flick back and forth that control dedicated circuitry to your home. For example, one of those breakers in the panel will turn off your oven or your microwave or your bathroom outlets. Smart panels are the same concept, except that you're able to operate your electrical panel from your mobile phone using an application that aligns with the product that you would use. And the reason this is important now is because some of these smart panels require additional space to get all of the components into it. In some cases, they require double the space than a regular panel to get all of the components into an adequate sized panel so that you can monitor it through your phone. What's really nice about this feature is that you're able to understand where power is being consumed in your home. You'll be able to turn things on and off, or regulate that, or time it when it goes on and off, and control a lot of your power consumption. But what you care about now is, within your home automation requirements, do you want to incorporate smart panels? And declaring that with your architect and your designer is really important.
All right, quick reminder, everybody. Everything we're talking about today and so much more is in the Awaken Homeowner book. At less than 0.1% of your project cost, it's the best investment you'll make. Grab your copy on Amazon and keep it by your side throughout your entire project. Trust me, you'll refer to it again and again.
So from a power standpoint, so in the electrical design of your project, the E and MEP, mechanical, electrical, plumbing, there are certain components. In the electrical, there is the power components, right? And that's what we just talked about, is everything that you know that you specifically would like to have, whether it's an appliance, a location of an outlet, or one other thing is anything that you think you might want in the future. So for example, if you think you want to put a pool in later, or a hot tub in later, or you want to add air conditioning later because you're not putting it in now in your remodel project, or you may want to build an accessory dwelling unit in the back of your property. Anything that you can think of in the future that you would want to consider, now is the time to do it, because in your building of your new home or doing a major renovation, you can design the electrical service accordingly, so that when you go to do that project, you're not going to have to pay double to rip all that out, put a new panel in, upgrade the service then. So be thinking about the future of what you may want to include on your property. This is a really important one, because I've done this where we've completed a project and then a couple of years later, we go back And all of a sudden, we're ripping out the new panel, two-year-old panel, so that we can upgrade the service to service the new pool and spa and pool house. So I can't emphasize that enough. Okay, let's move into lighting. So we've had the power aspect of it. You've told your architect everything that you've wanted. Now we're going to move into the lighting aspect. One of the things about the lighting is this sometimes can take a special designer, depending on the level of project that you're doing and depending on what your requirements are and how specific you are. You may want to consider just specifically a lighting designer. So if your architect is doing your E plan, your electrical plan for the plan set, but you are really particular on your lighting and you, let's say you have a lot of artwork, you want to do a lot of exterior illumination and features and things like that, you may want to think about specific lighting designer. Some interior designers are qualified as lighting designers, but the higher end of the project, the more you want to consider a actual certified lighting designer for a project. So lighting design is an interesting one. Lighting design adds to the overall perception and feeling of your living space inside. So really bad lighting design can really ruin your life to a certain extent. For example, here's a dumb one. Not really a dumb one, but here's a funny one. You're working in your kitchen and you have nothing but shadows on the countertops from your own head. And that's because the recessed lights were not put in the proper locations in the ceiling. And it's casting a shadow because the recessed lights are just enough behind you that you're now working in the dark. That sounds comical, but it actually happens all the time. And you as a homeowner don't really know that necessarily. So a qualified lighting designer are the people that know that, and architects know that too. So this is just one example where lighting can really make your life miserable. Proper art lighting is really important as well. The spacing off the walls, the type of devices, the type of fixtures that you use. Everything nowadays is all going to LED, and understanding the color of LED, they call it the CRI, color rendering index, and the Kelvin, which is you may see on light bulbs 2700, 3500, 4000. The higher the number, the bluer, the colder the light in general. Lighting designers and architects know this and will specify the fixtures that they feel are appropriate, and hopefully by engaging with you so that you can understand what are the variables out there. If you go with a 3500 Kelvin light color, we'll call it, that's going to be neutral, maybe a little on the warmer side. 3000's even warmer, 2700's even yellow, warmer. So be aware of that and understand that there are options for you. So the locations of the lighting, the type of the fixtures that'll be built into your home is really important, because you could walk into your new home on Monday with the keys in your hand and everything's yellow. And it's because you weren't made aware, you didn't know, and now you've got a whole bunch of light fixtures that are the wrong color. Now, here's something that's interesting, though. A lot of the recessed lighting fixtures now that you see these days have a little switch inside them, and you can change the color right there, which is really cool. So if everybody set them to 2700 and you didn't like it, you might be able to pull the recessed can light down and kick it over to 3500 or something like that and get a much cooler, more natural light. So that is a really important one. The other one that is really critical is the switching and how all these devices are switched. Where are they going to be switched? Where are the switches going to be physically located in the room? And then where those locations are, which one controls which? Because as in a lot of homes, there's multiple devices, multiple switches controlling different zones of lighting. And a good architect, a good lighting designer will specify which switches do which zones. And then they will walk it through with you to make sure that works with your lifestyle. There's a lot of different things to consider. And specialty lighting is another one that if you're not made aware, you may not realize what you're missing. Under cabinet lighting, it sounds simple and almost a standard nowadays, but under cabinet lighting in the kitchen is really important for your task lighting, especially when you have the shadows from the improperly placed light fixtures. Some of the cabinetry out these days will do a nice integrated LED strip already built into the cabinet, which is the cleanest look that you can get. Closet lighting. Who thinks about that? Do you just stick a fixture up in the middle of the closet and you call it good? If you're building a custom home and you're made aware of all of the integrated lighting that you can do, literally sometimes into a closet pole, you can actually have lighting shining down on your clothes. That's just one example. Attic and crawl space lighting. If that's not a requirement, so therefore the minimal electrical plan that doesn't have any of that, but how much does it really cost to run lighting inside the attic? Just basic lighting so that when you go to work in your attic or a technician comes to work in your attic, they flick a switch and the whole attic space is lit up. To me, that's a really smart thing to do. But if you're not aware of that's even a possibility, it probably won't get done. And that's what we're trying to do. Things like lighted mirrors, vanity lighting, landscape and security lighting, outdoor lighting is really important. It sometimes gets overlooked. So this is just an example of the benefits of hiring a qualified, either electrical engineer, lighting designer, or engaging with your architect to make sure that these things are really being thought of, that you can try to improve the quality of your life as much as possible with lighting. The coordinating lighting design with everything else that goes on in a project is really important. And this is a big part of an architect's job. And what I'm talking about is when you look up at your ceiling and you see your pendant lights hanging down over your island, and maybe you have speakers mounted in there, and you have fire sprinkler systems, and then you have fire sprinkler heads, I should say. And then you have exposed beams and chandeliers and recessed lights. All of this stuff going on in the ceiling is a huge opportunity for ugliness, where things converge too close to one another. And I've spoken about this in previous episodes, but it's called a reflected ceiling plan. And a reflected ceiling plan shows everything that will be mounted on the ceiling and protrusions. And sometimes in order to achieve proper lighting design and spacing of fixtures, it's important for somebody, and it's usually your architect, looking at the reflected ceiling plan and moving things around. And they're coordinating between the plumber sometimes, the electrical engineer, the mechanical HVAC design. I didn't even mention that, where ducts are coming through. The structural engineer, where beams could be, where you can't put a fixture or get through a beam with a wire. The coordination aspect of electrical and lighting design with all the other components is really important and should not be overlooked when it comes time to analyze the project. So one of the questions you can be asking your architect is, will you be coordinating all of this aspects of what's going to go on my ceiling with the electrical lighting plan? And how does that affect my lighting plan? I have to make some compromises based on everything else that's going to be in the ceiling. Asking these questions lets your architect know that you know a little bit now and you care and you want to understand as much as possible. So there you go. That's the lighting aspect of it. There's one other element I don't want to forget to mention, and that is specifying the lighting fixtures for the project. Now, often an interior designer will help you with specifying the lighting fixtures. And the reason that is because it's usually coordinated with some of the other finishes throughout the project, the interior style, the architectural style. So it's not uncommon for an interior designer to specify all of the lighting fixtures. And what I mean by that is any of the pendant lights hanging down from the ceiling, any of the chandeliers, any of the lights mounted in the vanities to the sides of the mirrors, outdoor light fixtures around the perimeter of the home. The reason this is important is because the location of where these fixtures go is often relative to the shape and style of the fixtures. So for example, if you have a light fixture in the vanity that comes off the wall and sticks up versus off the wall and sticks down, that could directly affect the height that those fixtures are placed. And in interior design and architectural design, they often do interior elevation drawings that show you the view of your vanity wall, we'll say. and they'll show the mirror and the vanity and the sink, and then they'll have the light fixtures drawn on the plan, and then they'll even have a measurement on there off of the floor of where the electrician should put the fixture. Now, I say that, but it's not very often. I would say it's more often than not that you don't see any of that stuff. You don't see the measurements on the drawing. And that can cause a lot of aggravation for people because light fixtures often get placed in the wrong place. So the moral of the story there, the lighting design, is have all of your lighting fixtures specified for the project so that everybody is empowered to do a really good job and doesn't have to redo things as they work their way through installing the rough electrical on the project. All right, let's talk about another one that's really important when you're in the middle of electrical lighting power design, and that is solar power. So if you're planning to integrate solar power on your new home or your remodel project, it's really important that everybody know that to begin with. And that is because it can really affect how the power design is done. It can affect the location and the size allowances for equipment and panels and the like. So if you're going to think about doing solar power integration to your home, here's a couple things that I want you to remember and to be asking your architect. Number one, is solar power mandated by my project? There's a lot of jurisdictions now that are requiring a certain amount of solar power on a roof for a project. That's the first one to figure out. And does the solar power system affect the load calculations of the project? In other words, does it reduce the load calculations for a project? Does it increase the load calculations for a project? I know it sounds counterintuitive that it increases the load power, but in my latest experience, it didn't really affect the load calculations. You would think that I'm generating a lot of solar power, I'm not going to need as much power from the grid. That's not really how it works, apparently. So asking that question. If you are going to be considering solar power, you may want to consider a battery backup system for the project instead of a actual gas-fired generator. A lot of people do install backup generators, especially in rural areas and actually in suburban areas now too, because the power grid can be somewhat undependable in certain areas. But the point is that if you're going to be thinking about either backup generator or battery backup system, this requires design. It requires space for the battery systems. It requires future space for future expansion. Now, it's often that an electrical engineer doesn't necessarily design the solar system, the solar power system for the project. So usually what has to happen is you have to bring in, or your architect will bring in, a solar consultant, and they will design the system and then directly coordinate with the electrical engineer or the architect on the project. And between those three people there, they will design the proper system, the space for the equipment that you're going to be needing. Here's one interesting one is during the architectural design, meaning designing the structure itself, if you know you're going to be doing solar, this could affect the actual design of the home. In other words, to optimize the orientation of the solar panels on top of the roof structure. So if you were to visit the solar power option way later, way after everything's been designed, you may not be optimizing your system as best it could be. So think about that if you're going to be doing a solar power system and factor that in early on in the design process. It's also interesting to know if you're going to be doing a solar power system because the structural engineer may be interested in that. Although solar panels don't usually add that much of an additional load to a building, it's still important for you to understand, especially in the snow country, if you're having solar panels up there and it's retaining even more snow than normal or whatever, that may not necessarily be the case, but the structural engineer will be interested to know if you're going to be putting solar and may do something a little bit different on the roof framing structures. Also, when you're designing a solar power system, considering where the roof penetrations go relative to the optimal planes of the solar panels. So for example, if you have a perfect roof plane that is facing south to southwest, I think is the best orientation for solar, but then you put skylights all the way across that plane, you've ruined your potential to optimize the solar power systems. It always tends to lead to compromises or at least thoughtful designs so that you can have a skylight every third panel or something, if you get what I'm talking about. All right, we're working our way through this. We've talked about the E of MEP. We've talked about you thinking about it from the perspective of how you want to use your home and where you think you want special needs when it comes to the power. Talked about the lighting, and we've talked about all the intricacies there and understanding the fixtures that you need and who's going to be working with you. It could be an electrical engineer, an architect, and maybe even an interior designer working on the project, usually orchestrated by your architect. If you're an owner builder, then you'll be playing orchestrator through all of that. But let's talk about when to hire an electrical consultant versus letting your architect do the project. Now, like I mentioned earlier, it's more often than not that an architect does the electrical and lighting design, at least at the beginning. Sometimes an interior designer can do it for you as well. But I would say your architect can handle the electrical, power, and lighting design. If it's a smaller to medium size project with standard electrical requirements, they do have experience with electrical systems, they know what they're doing. But if you start to work your way into smart home integration, all of the lighting controls, all the fancy home automation stuff, now you're starting to get outside those bounds. Now, what you can do is you can still have your architect master the whole electrical lighting plan, then you bring in a separate consultant for all the home automation. And we're going to talk about that in a future episode called Low Voltage. So you don't necessarily have to just hire, completely disregard the architect and hire somebody else, but you can do some coordination that. When you get into homes that are estates, we'll call them, or homes with multiple structures, main home, pools, cabanas, shops, and helicopter pads, whatever, and you're getting into more sophisticated equipment because it's all electric and it's a home over 4,000 square feet, you really may want to think about entertaining an electrical engineer as part of the MEP consultants for the project, mechanical, electrical, plumbing, and have them work with your architect and your other designers on the project. And you can cut that up in different ways. And then if you're going to be using solar integration, your architect can still coordinate all of the aspects of it, but you could bring in a solar consultant to actually work with them. And sometimes it could be three. In this last estate project I did, it was the architect, it was the electrical engineer, and it was the solar contractor that worked together on generating the electrical power and lighting plan and the interior designer. So there were four people involved in every aspect of that because the interior designers can see things that nobody else can see, and they understand the aesthetic on the inside probably more than anybody really. So you have four actual people involved in a large size project, all the way down to just one person. If it's a, say you're building a 2,500 square foot basic home where you don't have a lot of personal requirements, your architect can just crank that out for you probably and be satisfied. You can still tell them where you want plugs and outlets and switches. So you don't have to go too crazy with it. You'll have to make that judgment call. So the questions to ask your architect: have you ever designed electrical systems for homes similar to mine? Now, the reason you want to ask that is because they may already just not do that. They may have an electrical and lighting designer that they work with that they just automatically have somebody else do that no matter what. And that's good for you to know, because then you can ask questions like, or is that somebody that I need to be interacting with? Or will we just work on it together? And then another one is, do you work with qualified electrical contractors during design? So are we bringing in an electrical contractor to consult with on the project? I haven't mentioned this earlier, but sometimes The people that actually install the systems have some of the best input for a project because they've seen the result. They've seen a lot of results. They've seen more results than architects have because they're, just think about it, they're servicing multiple architects, multiple general contractors and home builders. So bringing in an electrical contractor early on is not a bad idea. And also, this can help you get preliminary cost estimates as well. So that's another good one. How about this one for your architect? How do you handle load calculations and utility coordination? So do they do the load calculations? Does this electrical contractor consultant, electrical contractor they bring in, does the electrical design, who handles that? And who's thinking about that early on, especially if you're building a more complex project? And then what's your experience with solar integration? So most architects don't deal with that. They just bring somebody in. But again, you're laying the groundwork. You're letting them know that you're thinking about this stuff and that you're going to want it addressed on the project. You can also ask your architect, is this a project that you think warrants using an electrical engineer to do the electrical and lighting plan? Or should we just bring in an electrical engineer as a consultant? Or do we need any of that? So you can ask them those type of questions as well. And that leads me to one kind of, not warning, but just something that you should know. Electrical engineers, or agencies, we'll call them. So there's a lot of agencies that specialize in mechanical, electrical, and plumbing, MEP. And they're usually agencies, and often they have dedicated people for each of those MEP trades. You can also find individuals that just focus on electrical, individuals that just focus on mechanical, but it's probably best to use an agency because they're all communicating and talking to each other. But one thing I want you to be aware of is that a lot of MEP agencies do a lot of commercial work, institutional work, and that sometimes their custom homework is secondary to their primary larger scale projects. My recommendation is to find an MEP agency that is specific or at least has a core level of services to residential home construction. And that's because they are going to be most up to speed on all of the aspects and equipment and solutions within that world. Sometimes using commercial-oriented MEP agencies, you'll get a lot of commercially solutions, which can be expensive, unnecessary, and frankly, not really suited best for residential construction. So I want to call that to your attention. So those are some of the things that you need to be aware of, the options that you have in hiring people to get your electrical, lighting, and power design done for your project. And obviously the message is here, don't ignore it. Because if you ignore the electrical and lighting design, you will pay the price in time and money later. Even if you just do a cursory review of the electrical plan, it's better than nothing. So that's my suggestion with this particular episode, is to know that it should be a priority and then act accordingly. All right, here's some practical action steps based on all of this information I've just bombarded you with as you're thinking about doing your project, or maybe you're right in the middle of design. During the design phase, existing service assessment. Determine current electrical service size. What is it? Just get the baseline down. Assess the condition of existing electrical infrastructure. So understanding the service size that you have now, which you can easily do by looking at your service panel, and usually there's a little main breaker that says 200, 100, and then understanding the equipment that's servicing your property. Now that you may have to communicate with the utility company, and getting that baseline down so that you can understand what your possibilities are with your project. You get the baseline down, you'll have to revisit that once you get deep into your design. And then doing a lifestyle analysis, think about how you use power and lighting in your home. Where do you charge devices? How do you use each room? What appliances must you have? How do you entertain? And be thinking about the future. What future plans would I like to be able to do with my home as I live in it and come up with more and more ideas? Complete design before load calculations. So once you have the design down, specify all of the desired appliances and equipment, include the HVAC lighting and power requirements, and don't leave anything to figure out later. The idea is to get it all down on paper within your design. Now, your architect's going to be doing this for you. You're just going to be sharing what you want. Your architect or interior designer or electrical engineer, one of the three or all of the three are going to be getting this down onto paper for you so that you can then actually do or have done load calculations to make sure that you, when you go back and revisit your electrical service and have the two meet in the middle, are you going to be able to do it? And if you can't, then do you upgrade the service or you revise your design? This is all stuff done during design, by the way, not during construction, which I think a larger percentage of people actually do. And that's when you hear people complaining all over the place. Oh, I blew my budget. My electrician's charging me more and more and more and more. I bet you a lot of it's not the electrician's fault. I bet you it's the inadequate design. It's the inadequate service. There's all kinds of other variables that can be mitigated. And that's what we're talking about today. Early electrical conversations with your architect. Discuss electrical scope with architect in the first design meetings. Get load calculations before finalizing the plans. Understanding existing utility capacity versus new design demands. Plan for future. So I know I keep beating that to death, but plan for the future. Electric vehicles, hot tubs, workshops. Consider solar for requirements. Plan for smart home infrastructure. Coordinate with other mechanical, electrical, and plumbing systems. What that means is perhaps you're going to be doing an electric heat pump water heater system. That takes power. Perhaps you're going to be doing all electric HVAC, no gas. That takes power. Coordinating that with the plans, then the load calculations, then the electrical service puts you in a position to make informed decisions. So that is what we're talking about here. And all you need to do as a homeowner is raise the flag and ask the questions, and your team, your design team, will help you figure it out. Now, really good architects and designers will prompt you with all this stuff, but we're not going to count on that right now. We're getting you informed so that if you feel like you're not getting prompt, you're able to ask the right question. So let's go back to questions one more time. What's our current electrical service size and condition? How are you calculating our electrical load? What's our current utility capacity versus what we'll need? Have we included all our desired appliances in the load calculation? That's a big one because sometimes things get left off. How are electrical, lighting, and other systems being coordinated? So that means with the mechanical ductwork, with the plumbing, with the structural, that was that reflected ceiling plan I was talking about. How is all that getting coordinated? Are we putting equipment on top of each other? Are we allocating dedicated spaces for each one? What will utility upgrades cost if needed? Now, they may not know the exact answer to that, but it's something that people with experience, especially electrical contractors, if you've engaged one early, they're going to be able to answer that question for you. Can our existing service support our complete design, or do we need to modify our plans? So that's just related to all the previous questions before. But these are the ones that need to be asked, because guess what? Who's left holding the bag when everybody's appeased you and given you exactly what you want? You've got this beautifully designed home and pool and spa and cabana and everything. And then all of a sudden the power is not adequate. Guess who's holding the bag? You. Because it's your property, it's your home. Sure, they probably should have asked you some questions, but they didn't. So we're helping you position yourself. Because if you have to spend $50,000 to upgrade your electrical service, that may influence other decisions. Maybe you won't have three Sub-Zero refrigerators in your kitchen, or you'll make informed decisions that otherwise would leave you behind the eight ball, and then you're at the mercy of everybody else because you've already ordered all your refrigerators and now they're going to come knocking with a $50,000 change order. It's about empowering you, right? Remember those principles: enlighten, empower, and protect you so that you can still make informed decisions by being in the driver's seat. That's what we're trying to accomplish here. So let's keep in mind that the electrical trade for a project is often one of the most expensive beyond the actual construction, foundation, framing of the project. And it could be well into 8 to 12% of the cost of a project. So if you're building a $1 million home, it's likely your electrical could be $80,000 to $120,000, something like that. I would not be surprised. So these are big numbers, and sometimes even more than that. If you get into all the home automation stuff, you could easily add 50% to that number, depending on what your requirements are. So this is one of the cost categories that we don't really want to mess with. And then if you start having to add utility upgrades, that can totally blow that out of the water. And then you could spend 2 to 5%, maybe even more, on the home automation aspect of a project. And solar systems can cost you $15,000 to $200,000. If you're going to do a really high-end solar system with the best battery backup systems in the world, for the most part, $15,000 to $40,000 for solar system. So let's wrap this up. Electrical design is about lifestyle optimization, not just meeting code, right? Unless you're like just trying to build the cheapest home on the face of the earth, we're going beyond just meeting code. We're trying to tailor something to your lifestyle so that when you walk in, it feels great, it looks great, the switch is where you thought it was going to be. Load calculations are essential before finalizing plans. Coordinating between electrical, solar, and low voltage, your home automation is critical. The right time to address electrical is during design, not construction. You'll still have changes in construction, guaranteed. And your involvement in electrical planning prevents scope creep and budget disasters. This is just one more of those things that you can do to put yourself in the driver's seat so you're not one of those people on Facebook groups bitching and moaning about how your budget's blown because your electrician keeps charging you more. So remember, great electrical design is invisible. You never think about it because everything just works exactly where and how you need it. That takes thinking, that takes design. That's the goal we're shooting for. Until next time, this is Bill Reed with the Awaken Home Podcast.
Thanks for tuning into the Awaken Homeowner. Remember, you've got the power to take control of your project from day one. If you're ready to dive deeper, grab the Awaken Homeowner book on Amazon. It's your roadmap to success. Join our community at theawakenhomeowner.com and download our free story, The Tale of Two Homeowners. And here's something exciting. I'm developing an app called BuildQuest that's going to revolutionize how you plan and manage your project. Visit buildquest.co to become a founding member and test drive the app when it launches. Follow us on social media and hit that subscribe button. All the links are in the show notes and bio. Got questions? I'd love to hear from you. This is Bill Reed. You got this.